Reformation Baptist Church. Please take your seats and open your green hymnals to page 409. Please find your seats and open to page 409 in your green hymnals. The fight is on. Page 409, the fight is on. Sing it out loud with me on that first verse. The fight is on, the trumpet sound is ringing out, the cry to arms is heard afar and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory, the triumph of the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming and color streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in his might hold fast. If God be for us, his banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. The fight is on, arouse ye soldiers brave and true, Jehovah leads and victory will assure. Go buckle on, the armor God has given you, and in his strength forever will endure. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming and color streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in his might hold fast. If God be for us, his banner o'er us, we'll win the victor's song at last. Sing out loud on the last verse. The fight is leading on to certain victory. The bow of promise spans the eastern sky. His glorious name in every land shall honor be. The morn will break, the dawn of peace is nigh. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming and color streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in his might hold fast. If God be for us, his banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last.
And great singing this morning. Brother Stephen Bowman, can you open us with a word of prayer?
Lord God, thank you so much for a wonderful day to come into your house and worship, Lord. I pray that you would bless the singing and the preaching and the fellowship, Lord. Help us have a great day of soul winning too, Lord. Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Page 416. As a volunteer, page 416. As a volunteer, page 416. Sing out loud with me on the first verse. A call for loyal soldiers, come to one and all. Soldiers for the conflict, will you heed the call? Will you answer quickly with a ready cheer? Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? Yes, Jesus calls for soldiers who are filled with power. Soldiers who will serve him every day and hour. He will not forsake you, he is ever near. Will you be a volunteer. A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? He calls you for he loves you with a heart most kind. He whose heart was broken, broken for mankind. Now, just now he calls you, calls in accents clear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? And when the war is over and the victory won, when the true and faithful gather one by one, he will crown with glory all who there appear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer?
Good morning, welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. I would say let's take our bulletins and go to them, but there's only a few. So if you do need a bulletin, how many do you have? Like five? So three, okay. Well, if you're one of those lucky three people, you get to have a bulletin, but we ran out of paper, so sorry about that. But just listen up if you don't have a bulletin so that you know kind of what's going on. The verse of the week is, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. It's a very great scripture there. And our service times are 10:30 a.m. for Sunday morning, and Sunday evening is 3:30 p.m. Tonight we'll be finishing the book of Genesis, chapter number 50, and Thursday Bible study is at 6:30 p.m. We'll be back in Titus, chapter number 1, for another sermon of the first chapter, and we've been out of there for a couple weeks, so I'm anxious to get back to the book of Titus. And then the soul winning times are listed below. Please let Brother Conlon know if you're going soul winning today so he can pair you up, and the map will be posted in the WhatsApp group. Let's see, the praise report, salvation so far for the month of June is actually five. There was a late report that came in, and so that's five so far. And then you can see the salvation totals, baptisms, and attendance totals from last week. Let's see, June 14th, which is this Tuesday, is our trip to Oaks Amusement Park for the last homeschool field trip of the year. And Miss Rachel, is it too late to sign up for that? Was it Friday? Do you have some room? Got like three spaces left. So if you were planning on going and you haven't let Miss Rachel know, please see her after the service or sometime today. And that will be meeting at 12 o'clock, correct? So 12 o'clock at Oaks Amusement Park. The address isn't in here. There's this thing called Google. If you type in Oaks Amusement Park, it'll lead you right there, okay? And let's see, we got, so if you have any other questions, please see Miss Rachel. She's the one that's heading that up. And then June 15th, we're going to have the funeral service for Mary Kornichuk at Fruton, Rose, and Hoyt Funeral Home. That's at 2308 Pacific Avenue, Forest Grove, Oregon, 97116. So if you need the address, just get it from the bulletin. I think my wife usually takes a picture of the bulletin, puts it in the WhatsApp group, so you can get the address there. Of course, everybody in our church is invited to go and support Brother Alex and to mourn with him. And then the burial service is going to be around 5 o'clock at Union Point Cemetery in Banks, Oregon, which I think is about a 10-minute drive from there. But please attend if you're able to do it. I know it's in the middle of the week and it's during some people's work hours, but if you can't make it, please try to do so we can support Brother Alex in his time of mourning. And June 18th, we have the men's shooting event
in Stevenson, Washington, which is this next Saturday. And that will be at the, we're going to meet at the Bridge of the Gods on the Washington side, little parking strip right there. And there's going to be a shooting competition for the men. And Kyle's not allowed to attend because he was perfect last time. Oh, are you going to come? Okay, good. Dang it. I'll try not to shoot like John Wick this year. Well, actually, he hits his target, but I think it was, Anthony was like, John Wick doesn't just stand still. Whatever. Okay. But so that's going to be a fun event, and we're going to have lunch. I don't know. Brother Sean, do you have like a lunch? You already have lunch planned? Hamburgers. What, real men? Are you gonna? You're not going to get any Beyond Burgers or anything like that, right? Okay. Good. So it'll be all beef, 100% beef. Amen. So men, when they go shooting, they eat beef. All right. So every man in the church is invited to attend that. Can I get a show of hands of who's planning on going to that? All right. Great. And I think the church is providing ammo. So if you have a 9mm or AR-15, then those rounds, well, we bought like a certain amount of rounds for the church. Anybody can use them. So if you want to get some target shooting in or whatever, we're going to have that little competition. It's going to be a lot faster this time. Last year it took hours. So Brother Sean's kind of revamped it so that we can actually get home for get ready for Sunday morning. Anyway, or me. I didn't want to leave, you know, but it was like it got pretty late. So, but anyway, yeah, it's going to be a great event. And of course, Brother Sean always does a great job of going through the security and the safety of the shooting event. So anyway, let's see. And then Father's Day is June 19th. There'll be a gift for every dad that's in attendance. And we'll have a sermon geared towards fathers that morning. And in the evening, I'll probably just preach a standalone sermon. But then the other upcoming events is June 23rd, which is a Thursday. Pastor Steven Anderson will be here preaching for us. It's the one of the stops for the FWBC Faithful Word Baptist Church Mega Conference. So please plan on being here and attending. It's not just Pastor Thompson's boring Thursday night sermons. I'm just kidding. But Pastor Anderson will be here, so please show up and support him coming and just be here and be a blessing for our attendance and all that stuff. So Spokane is where he's going to be preaching on Sunday for both services. So he's going to be preaching both services in Spokane. So if you want to go to that, please just let me know so I know kind of how many people are going to plan on driving up for that. I'll be preaching the same day at Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, and while he's preaching at our church in Spokane. So July 4th is our fellowship, which is a Monday this year, and it's going to be at the Yankee Residence, and we'll have more information coming up about that. I know it's being planned and everything's that's going on. Of course, we will have some sort of dead animal charred and eaten. So I'm sorry to be so vulgar about animals, but anyway, I'm a member of PETA, so it's people eating tasty animals. So anyway, we'll have a great time. We'll do some fireworks, and I think we're trying to get a bounce house or something like that. And maybe a slip and slide for the kids. So that never ends badly. So I'm not touching the fireworks either. I blew up some children a few years ago, and it was just, I've never been forgiven for that. So anyway, July 14th through the 17th, the Red Hot Preaching Conference, and that's in Sacramento, California. So please, if you're planning on attending that, if you're slacking on getting your room and all that stuff, you've slacked too long, but I'm sure you can still get a spot. I'm sure you can still make plans to drive down there or fly, but you should start getting it taken care of. Airfare is, well, now the airports are just filled with people again. It's like claustrophobic. So I got the opportunity to go and preach in New Jersey, and my days are running together right now. So, but it was a great experience. The whole venue was packed. So we had a great time, and Pastor Jimenez baptized 8 people that night of the preaching. So, and then I at halftime yesterday for the Soul Winning Marathon, there was 15 salvations, and I'm not sure what the total ended up being. I haven't had a chance to look at social media. My flight was delayed, and I didn't get in until like midnight or something like that. So anyhow, it was a great experience. Got to go soul winning in New Jersey, and there was like, it was so weird. There was no homeless people there. Like, at least in the areas I was at, I was like, this looks like Portland, except for minus all the tents and garbage on the side of the road and on the sidewalks. So I'm sure that they do have it somewhere there, but it definitely wasn't where I was. And we drove around quite a bit. So it was really nice to not have to see all that, plus all the graffiti and stickers all over all the signs. So not sure what they're doing, but maybe we could follow suit. So in our states. So anyway, we're a family integrated church. That means the children and infants are welcome during the church services. We do have mother baby rooms and dad baby rooms located in the back areas of the church there. And please utilize those for your convenience and make sure you're following the rules and being respectful for others. The gliders or rockers are for pregnant or nursing mothers and elders only. And please no mother or no men in the mother baby rooms and vice versa. No unattended children in any area of the building. Please watch your children and no food in the assembly area. Please silence your cell phones or place them on silent, airplane mode for the service. And escorts to the vehicles are available by the ushers upon request. Just tap one of the ushers on the shoulder and say, I'd like an escort out. And then they would be happy to do that for you. So you can donate online through our website and through text. I don't know what happened to the text giving number there, but it's missing. But so we had, let's see, is there any birthdays that are supposed to be highlighted for this week? I don't think so. And let's see. Yeah, okay. Well, that's all I got for announcements. Let's sing another song and we'll receive the offering.
All right, let's turn to page 125 in the Green Hymnals, The Solid Rock, page 125. The Solid Rock, page 125. Sing it out loud with me on that first verse. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On the last, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. Great seeing everyone. At this time, we'll receive our offering. Brother Ramon, can you bless the offering for us?
Father, thank you so much for this great church, Lord. Pray you bless and protect it. Always bless the work as we faithfully give to you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, go ahead and open your Bibles to Job chapter 27. Job chapter number 27. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand, and one of the ushers will bring you one. Job chapter 27. Job 27, the Bible reads, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment? And the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul? All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast, and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Let mine enemy be as the wicked, and he that riseth up against me as the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul? Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? I will teach you by the hand of God, that which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. Behold, all ye yourselves have seen it. Why then are ye thus altogether vain? This is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of the oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. If his children be multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep. Though he heap up silver as the dust, and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. He buildeth his house as a moth, and as a booth that the keeper maketh. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He openeth his eyes, and he is not. Terrors take hold on him as waters, a tempest stealeth him away in the night. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departeth, and as a storm hurleth him out of his place. For God shall cast upon him, and not spare. He would fain flee out of his hand. Men shall clap their hands at him, and shall hiss him out of his place." Brother Robert, will you pray for us?
Amen. The title of the sermon this morning is The Utter Hypocrisy of the Left. The Utter Hypocrisy of the Left. Now, when I'm talking about the left, I'm not talking about, I mean, I am talking about Democrats, but I'm talking about just the faction of people in this world and in this country that are opposite of what is right. Amen. Okay. And the Lord is what's right. A definition of a hypocrite is a person who professes beliefs and opinions that he or she does not hold in order to conceal his or her feelings or motives. Synonyms for the word hypocrite are dissembler, dissimulation, dissimulator, phony, or pretender. So I would say this, that the left, they champion themselves as these moral people. They pretend to help people, they pretend to love people, but in reality, they are the opposite of what's right and true. They're the opposite of what's holy and righteous. And really, the things that they supposedly help people with, they're not helping them, they're actually hurting them. Right. Let's look down in our Bibles at Job chapter 27, verse number 8. We'll read through these verses, and it says, "What is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul." A hypocrite can be someone that's pretending to be saved also, and then they're actually not really saved. And so they say they believe these things, they say they believe the Bible, they say that they're for truth and righteousness, but in reality, that person's just a hypocrite. They're not really saved, they're not really a Christian. But see, the left, they say that they're right, they're true, they're good. But why would you call yourself the left then? You know, it doesn't make sense, does it? So They are the left because they want to be the opposite of what is right. Now, again, I'm not talking about politics this morning necessarily. When I get political is when morality and politics collide, basically. And so there's a lot of things being legislated in our country and rules and laws being made that are not morally right. The morals of God are the standard of what's right and wrong. And so when they start to, you see, God does have three institutions on this earth. He has the family or the home. He has the government, which he did institute. And we have the church. And these three things are something that has to be in sync with each other in order for our planet to be ruled correctly. Now, obviously, the Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. The world is not getting better. The world is getting worse. And who is behind this ultimate strategy is the devil himself. He has principalities. He has rulers of and people that are wicked in high places. And he is pulling the strings. And, you know, what is he using to do that? Well, what we call the left. Okay, it's not a political party. It's they left God and tried to separate themselves from him. Okay, now it says, what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul. All hypocrites, now, and I'm talking about fake and phony pretenders, you know, God's going to take away their soul. That's what it says, right? Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? I will teach you by the hand of God, that which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. Behold, all ye yourselves have seen it. Why then are ye thus altogether vain? This is the portion of a wicked man with God, the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. So the Bible's equating this hypocrite with being a wicked man or a wicked person, and that they're called a heritage of oppressors. So these people actually are the one, they're saying that they love, they're saying that they're all about love and all about helping people, but in reality, they are the oppressors of this world. And so they're going to get a portion, and that portion they're going to get is hell. It says, if his children be multiplied, it is for the sword. So basically, you know, God's going to, you know, make sure that they're cut off. And his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep. Though he heap up silver as the dust and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. He buildeth his house as a moth, and as a booth that the keeper maketh. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He openeth his eyes, and he is not. What is that talking about? Well, he's opening his eyes in hell, like the rich man talked about in Luke chapter number 16. They think that they've done the world a service. They think that they're doing the world good. But I mean, you know, honestly, these evil people, I know that they probably don't really believe that. They, like I said, they say they love, but they really hate. Yep. So the left is a bunch of hypocrites. They're a bunch of liars. They are a bunch of wicked people. And you're like, well, what about the Republicans, Pastor Thompson? They're wicked too. Amen. Okay. Preach. But you know, at least they try to say that they're for these things, and they're lying to, they're hypocrites. But the left just openly are okay with abortion, which is murder. They're okay with taking your money and putting it in someone else's pocket, money that you worked for in your life, and handing it off to a bum that doesn't want to work. You know, in the early parts of this country, the people settled, you know, in the 1600s in America, and they tried communism. And guess what? It didn't work. In Jamestown, they gave everybody their own plots, you know, and Jamestown was named after King James. King James sent those people over here. And they tried to do communism, and they said, well, everybody receives an equal portion from the whole community, which is like communism, right? But what do you think happened? Well, there's some people that will work and some people that refuse to labor and are slothful. And so they were taking from everybody else but not giving to everybody else. And so basically it wasn't working out. And John Smith, who was the leader of that group, said, unless you're working as hard as me, you're not going to get anything. And so they encourage people to, you know, go out and just be bums, but still get the same things that we get. Mm-hmm. See, that's not what God teaches. That is hypocrisy. That is wickedness. And, you know, we have a commissioner in Portland, Joanne Hardesty. And one of the things that I've heard her say is that the people that are on the streets should be making $70,000 a year. And just take this for what it is. There's a lot of people that were listening to that message that were not making $70,000 a year. And in order to make $70,000 a year, a lot of people have to work extra jobs and extra hours in order to make that money. So do you think that's right, that a homeless person that's just begging for money at the, you know, they're making double money because they're out getting $120 a day or whatever from the highways that they just plague every single day and leave all their trash laying around? When I was in New Jersey, I did see one beggar. And we were parked at a light, and the traffic there is crazy. It's way different than it is here. But this guy, he just had a cup. He didn't have a sign or anything. He just had like a cup. It was like this big. It was a plastic like AM/PM cup. And so we have two lanes of traffic. So this is the lane. You got a car here, a car here. And he is standing right in the middle of those two cars. And he just stands there. It's like he knows like how long the light's going to be. And then he just starts eyeballing every single person. He doesn't say anything. He's just looking. Then he walks a little bit. And he had the light timed perfectly. He walked back about five or six cars back. And I don't know if anybody gave him any money. But I was thinking, man, we should just run this dude over. But I wouldn't do that, of course. But it's just like that. I've never seen anybody do that before. He had no sign, nothing. He was just like looking at people. It's like he's bullying people by saying, hey, unless you give me money, I'm going to stand here in traffic so you can't go anywhere. He's like holding people hostage with no words, with no sign, just the fact that he's using his presence to bully the cars so that they can't go. And let me tell you something. In New Jersey, if you can't go when the light's green, people just go right around you. I mean, it's not like here. Like if you are kind of like lost in the woods there, the cars are just going to go vroom, vroom, around here and just be like, ah, it's crazy, man. It is crazy. But that guy didn't want to work. That guy wants to bully people out of money. That's, you know, can you walk in McDonald's and flip burgers? Can you walk in Taco Bell, walk back and forth? I mean, they can, but they don't want to. They want to get whatever money they can right there and then just collect welfare, collect free benefits. And guess who's paying for that? You suckers, you're all paying for that. And then when they OD and the fire department has to come and save their lives with Narco or Narcan or whatever it's called, guess who's paying for that too? You. That's aside from the $70,000 in benefits or whatever that they're supposed to make every year. The left would give $70,000 to someone that refuses to labor with their hands, and they're going to take it from guess who? You that don't make $70,000. Or if you do make $70,000 or more, they're going to take even more from you. Because it's not fair. Everybody has to be equal under the communistic laws that they're trying to implement. I knocked on a door of a man and we were trying to get him saved. He invited us into his home. He's been here in this country from Cuba for 14 years. He makes us these really killer espressos, and they were really strong, by the way. It helped us in our journey, soul winning afterwards. We're just like, do you want to be saved? No. But we, you know, he entreated us and invited us in his home, And so we went in and talked with him, and I was just like, what do you think about the fact that our country is trying to go communist? And he just like goes on this big, huge rant about it, because that's where he came from, where people are put into re-education things if they believe the Bible. And what do you think they're doing in there? They're trying to make them not believe that anymore and to bow to the will of Big Brother, the almighty government. That's what they think. So the Bible says, and God shall cast upon him and not spare, verse 22, he would fain flee out of his hand. Men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place. So God doesn't think very highly of hypocrites. And so I'm preaching the utter hypocrisy of the left because they're so hypocritical. And I'm going to give you some reasons why, you know, just some things. I'm sure you're going to come up with some stuff at the end of the sermon, and maybe I'll preach a second sermon about it at some point. But I didn't want the sermon to be too long this morning, so I'm only going to go to a certain amount of things that they are hypocritical about. But I was thinking on the way over here, I was thinking, well, here's another one. It's like you could probably keep coming up with them over and over. But the left and right origins come from the French Revolution. Well, that was a great time in human history, whether just anybody that's monarchy or anybody that's to the right, anybody that think, you know, and obviously they weren't a godly nation at that time, France, but they were trying to, you know, overthrow the king and overthrow the government, and which is not right. But, you know, the rulers were wicked, but, you know, these people want to overthrow monarchy. Why? Because God instituted monarchy, didn't he? And God said to honor the king, and they're dishonoring the king. So it comes from the French Revolution. The terms left and right appeared during the French Revolution in 1789 when members of the National Assembly divided into supporters of the king to the president's right and supporters of the revolution to his left. So that's basically where the term the left came from, and it probably has been around for a lot longer than that. You know, when you're talking about terms of the Bible, you know, and look, I'm not saying left-handed people are bad, but because there are there's some left-handed people, but you know, the term right is something that God, you know, when he's talking about what's right and true, so he kind of symbolizes that with the right hand. Okay, so look at Genesis 13:9, and we'll see a scripture where it talks about the first mention of the term right hand in the Bible. And what is the story about? Well, look at Genesis 13, verse number 9. It says, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. So that's the first time it appears. But what did Lot choose? He chose the left, didn't he? And so Abraham got the right. What appeared to be great was on the left, but what was the end of Lot in his life? He chose the left, and then what was that left? Sodom and Gomorrah. How did he end? Well, his family being destroyed, and him having children with his own daughters. So, I mean, the first time it's talked about the right hand in the Bible, you see Abraham being on the right hand. And what does he represent? Faith alone, righteousness, the right way. And Lot, you know, even though he was saved, he chose the left, the wrong way, and chose to live with just these vile, evil reprobates that God destroyed with fire and brimstone. Now turn to Exodus chapter 15, verse 6. I just want to show you, you know, and there's just tons of verses I could have showed you. I'm just going to show you a few this morning when it's concerning the right hand, okay? Exodus chapter number 15, verse number 6, the Bible says, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And I would submit to you this, that when it talks about the right hand of God, it's talking about Jesus Christ. Okay? It's talking about Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, is the one that's going to dash God's enemies into pieces. Look at Psalm chapter 16, verse number 11. Psalm chapter 16, verse number 11. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 16, verse number 11, it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So you see how it's just making the right hand something that's positive in the Bible, something that's right and good and pleasure forevermore. Turn to Psalm chapter 110, verse 1. Psalm chapter 110, verse 1. This is a psalm of David. And the Bible says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Who is that right hand? Who is that Lord that the Lord is talking to? It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Hebrews chapter 1. It's quoted as saying, God the Father saying unto the Son to sit at my right hand. And so God is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. Turn to Psalm 118, verse 16. Psalm 118, verse 16. This is the last one I'll show you on this topic. But I just want to show you that the right hand is what God considers right in the Bible. The right hand, verse number 16, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. So God, you know, looks at the what's right as the right hand. So, and in the Bible, the term doing right is always attributed to something that's good, okay? Now, and when it's talking about the left in a lot of occurrences, it's taught, you know, and obviously people have taken up this term the left because they want to be opposite of what God loves and what God believes and what we're supposed to believe. And so they're willingly being, you know, they're seditious, rebellious, and they want to overthrow God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. And how do they do that? Well, they do have an agenda. They want to make the things that God says are good, they want to make those evil. Yep. We live in a time right now when you can't even preach the Bible without someone getting up and censoring you and telling you what you say is wrong and not true. I made this point in my sermon in New Jersey. I said, if I just stopped preaching against the homos and just said, and all of our friends did, and we just stopped preaching about it, we're just never going to mention it again, everything that we preach in the Bible, people would be mad about. Even salvation. People get mad about what we believe. I mean, people make comments and try to deride us for what we believe about salvation, yep, which is right and true. That's the Bible. Amen. Salvation by faith alone. Amen. Everlasting life. People attack us on that all the time. That's just the simplest doctrine in the Bible. And you know what? So if I stop preaching against the evils of this world, as far as the Sodomites are concerned, then they would just be mad about something else. But you know what? I'm not going to stop preaching about that. I'm not going to stop preaching against them because, you know what? They are destroying this world. They're destroying this country right now. They really are. And so look at Isaiah 5:20. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." What is it saying? That they're turning everything on its head. That they're saying the things that are good and right are evil. And what are the things that are good and right? The things that God proclaims in his word. So why does he say woe unto them? Because woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Is Jesus good? What are they saying about Jesus? He's evil. Or they just try to make Jesus who they want him to be. Jesus is a hippie. Jesus wears a dress. Jesus has long hair. Jesus would never hate people. Jesus would never condemn people. Well, you must not read the Bible. Because, I mean, there's a book called Revelation that has a lot of red letters in it saying what he's going to do to this world in the end. He's going to be in a robe of red. His wrath is going to come down upon the heathen of this world that have said, you know what? You're not going to rule over us, Jesus. You know what? And before the millennium, he's going to bring those people that would not be ruled by him, and he's going to say, slay them before me. That sounds kind of mean, doesn't it? Kill all them. You know why? Because they're a problem. They're a problem. They would just come into the millennium causing problems, and you'd end up having to kill them anyway. So there's people out there that refuse to submit unto the Lord, and their plan is to make evil look good and good evil. And we are bombarded this month with everything that's evil. But, you know, it's actually going on for the whole year. It's almost like all year is Pride Month now. But here we are in Pride Month, and the heathen are raging. My son-in-law, Dylan, is being, you know, villainized and stalked and threatened because of a sermon that he preached that's talking about capital punishment. So these people don't believe in capital punishment anyway. But they definitely don't believe it for their good people, these sodomites, that they claim to be good. They say that they're good and we're bad. They say that Jesus would accept them. Jesus would save them. Well, show me that in the Bible. Show me. All right, well, 1 Corinthians, shut up with that. It doesn't say sodomite, okay? It doesn't say homosexual. I saw this one person, they're like, they posted a video and they're like, you know, the term homosexual is not in the Bible. Duh. It might be in a modern version that they are, and they're not translating it correctly, but the term homosexual wasn't even in the Bible in 1611 because the term wasn't around. It was called sodomite. It was called dog. Okay. That's what it's called. But the progressive liberals call themselves the left. They're saying to let us know that they are against God. That's what the real agenda is. And they're against Christ. They're the opposite of the right. And again, I'm not talking about Republican. People always say, you know, this is what they try to do. They try to do the left-right paradigm thing. The, you know, they're like, if you're against the left, you must be a Republican. No, I just said I think the Republicans are wicked too. They're just not saying what they're saying. I mean, they kind of are now. But that paradigm is like, if you don't fit into one category, you got to fit into the other. You're not Calvinist, you got to be Arminian or whatever. So people always want to put you in some kind of a box, but you know what? That box doesn't exist for us. Our box is the Bible. This thing right here, it's a box. See the shape of it? It's a box. And we're supposed to believe whatever's in that box, whatever's in this book. So when morality, like I said, when morality and politics collide, that's when I become political. When they stop saying that murderers should be given the death penalty, that's when I'm going to say, you know what? The Bible says something different. The morals and standards should not change based upon what democracy says. Well, it used to be, you know, wrong 200 years ago, but you know what the law says now? That law does not trump God's law. It never will. You can make all the laws you want in the world, but God's law always trumps man's law. Turn to Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Very famous psalm here. And it talks about this plot for the left to take over everything. And that is led by Satan himself. Look what it says in Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What do they want to do? They want to break what God says to do, and they want to get rid of God. They don't want to retain him in their knowledge, and they set themselves up, these rulers, it says rulers, and kings of the earth. These are the people that are leading our world right now, and they take counsel together not to do humanity good, not to be the light of this world, but what's it say? Against the Lord and against his anointed. And the anointed is Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, it's translated against the Lord and against his Christ. And they want to break away from the things of God. They want to break away from what God says to do. Look what it says in verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. God would never laugh at anybody. Well, it says right here, he's going to laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. So that means that they're doing something wrong, obviously. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Who's it talking about here? It's talking about Jesus. He's like, I'm going to give you all this. I'm going to give you the heathen. I'm going to give you the heathen for your inheritance. And, you know, obviously these are the heathen that can be saved, okay? So, and it says, in the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. They want to take over the world. They want to rule the world. They want to install a one world government. They want to make sure that you have some kind of a mark on you so they can, you know, make sure that you're worshiping the beast and the devil. But you know what? They're going to do all these things. But God says that inheritance is going to belong to the Lord. They can do all these things. They can crush us. They can kill us. They can rage against us. But God ultimately is the one that wins this war. And he's going to give the inheritance to Jesus Christ. And you know what? We inherit with him. So we inherit this world with Christ. And so look what it says in verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. He's like admonishing them. He's like, hey, if you want to be a true king, if you want to be a true judge, listen to what I have to say here. Serve the Lord with fear. And rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. He's saying, you want to be a true king? You want to be a true judge? You want to be a true ruler? Well, you know what? Give up this foolishness and kiss the Son, acknowledge the Son, right? And put your trust in him. But see, this world is not ruled by kings that believe that, right? So they're all going to end up in hell. The nations will be turned to hell, the Bible says. Turn to Isaiah chapter 32, verse 5. You know, and they like to call themselves liberals, progressive liberals. And progressive means that they want to change everything that's been instituted for thousands of years. They want to progressively change that. What did Obama say when he got elected as president? Change has come to America. And he changed a lot of things, didn't he? A lot of things have changed since he was made the president. A lot of things have changed since Joe Biden has become the president. And so they like to call themselves liberal, though, because liberal means someone that is giving, someone that is good, someone that is righteous. But look at what it says in verse 5 in Isaiah chapter 32. The vile person shall no more be liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. So it's funny because these people, they take the name liberal and they try to attach it to themselves and say that they're what's right and true, but this verse here says they're not going to be called, these vile people are not going to be called liberal anymore. They're going to be exposed for what they are. It says the vile person will speak villainy and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord to make empty the soul of the hungry. See, they say they want to feed the hungry, but really they're emptying the soul of the hungry, aren't they? It says that he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Hey, go to the government. They will help you. If you go to the government, they will feed you. They will give you something to drink. But you know who's supposed to give something to drink to them? Jesus Christ, the water of life, the bread of life. They're promising these things and prosperity to people that follow them and vote for them. But in reality, they need to turn to Jesus Christ, who's really going to satisfy their hungry soul, who's really going to satisfy their thirsty mouth and their thirsty lips. It says the instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words. Vote for me and I'll give you everything you want. Vote for me and I'll do all this stuff. I'll give you all these benefits. I'll feed you. I'll do all this stuff. And you know what the government wants is to be a cradle to the grave entitlements. You get free health care. You get free school. And it's really not free, though. It's really not free. Somebody's paying for it, folks. It's you. And so they want to promise all the stuff. They make promises with other people's money. While they enslave you, they try to say that they're making them free. They're enslaving us with their policies. They're enslaving us with their taxes, with their $5 and some odd cents of gasoline now. All in the name of helping the environment. But in reality, coal fire plants are being stoked up even further because, you know, in order to run this planet with energy, you're going to have to burn coal. But like, no coal trains are going to go through Oregon or Washington because we love the environment. It's like, that's not true. It takes more power than just a dam to run the energy of this world. Or these stupid, you know, solar panels or whatever. But God is encapsulating in Isaiah 32 verse 5 exactly what the liberal's mindset is. And we even say liberal, what do we think of? Someone that's vile, someone that's a leftist, a progressive Democrat. But really, we're supposed to, when the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, we're supposed to give liberally. We're supposed to be, you know, the liberal shall be made fat. It's talking about a liberal in a good way. But it's almost like God knew that people were going to call themselves liberals, that really they speak villainy. They're vile. Vile is a really harsh thing to be talked about to somebody. His heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy. And what am I preaching about today? The hypocrisy of the left. The hypocrisy of the left. God like really nails it down right here, doesn't he? And what do? Utter error against the Lord. They say all kinds of hard speeches against him. I mean, just look at what they're doing with Steadfast. Look at what they're doing. And they're being allowed to do it. Why? Because they've won. They've won the battle. But you know what? They're going to lose the war. And what I mean by they won the battle, I mean what they were trying to accomplish with the Sodomites. People, and you know, when I was in high school, nobody would have ever dreamed that this would be the reality that we're living in today. Nobody would have dreamed that. I had a Sodomite teacher in high school, which I kind of could guess. She looked like Ellen DeGeneres. But she starts talking in class about it, and that was against the law at that time. And she's like, don't tell anybody. And I was upset because, you know, there was a girl that I was friends with in that class, and she was raised by two Sodomites, which were wicked reprobates. But the things that were, they couldn't teach that stuff in school, but here she is infesting the school and then having some affair with the gym teacher, who was also a Sodomite, obviously, woman. And it was just swept under the rug. Liberal Portland, Cleveland High School. There was all the progressives were going there. They would incite us to they would just tell us, here, make these posters. When the first George Bush Sr. went to, the war in Iraq. The first war. And it was talking about, you know, they had us make all these signs and go protest out in front of the school. Well, do you think that most of these kids knew what the politics of was? I didn't understand it. But you know what? I didn't partake in it either. I just thought, this is weird. Like, why are the teachers trying to get us to do this protest? I still have a yearbook picture of when all these students are out front with their signs. So they've been around for a long time, just slowly boiling the frog. You know what? The pendulum is way over here right now. It's way in craziness. But hopefully it swings back the other way at some point. You know, I don't want it to be too over here, maybe a little more moderate. But hopefully the kids of this next generation can see the hypocrisy of what their parents are doing. These kids that are in front of a church yelling and screaming with their parents, or watching their parents say how loving they are while they scream obscenities at children, show their nakedness in front of them, scream death and destruction and murder to people that are going to church. You know, because when you walk into church with your children, y'all look normal. Nobody walked in here with pink hair and bones in their noses and, you know, just looking like total freak shows. You walked in here looking normal. So hopefully those kids, if they're not already totally corrupted and mind controlled by these parents, they can break away from their parents and just be like, I want to be normal. I would like to be normal someday. And I think that does happen. But you know what? We're losing we've lost the battle. We've lost the battle. But we're going to win the war. That's what the Bible says. And the vile person shall be no more called liberal. When God says that, that's a truth. At some point, the term liberal will be a good thing. Again, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. You're like, Pastor Thompson, why are you preaching about this? Well, because we're supposed to. You're like, why are you preaching it so much? Well, you know, there's a lot going on right now. There's a lot going on right now, and our friends are being bombarded by sodomites at this very moment, breaking their windows out, and as the police do nothing to help them. Instead, they put a pro-sodomite message upon their police Facebook page. And of course, it was probably some PR person that wrote that. I'm sure not all the police agree with that statement, okay? But here's the thing. A lot of people claimed I was just following orders when it came to the Nazis, right? I was just doing what I was told. That excuse is not good enough. That excuse is not good enough. Do your job, police, and arrest these people, trespass these people, take them to jail like they deserve to be taken, and quit letting them be on their property and destroying them. It's wicked as hell, folks. It should not be allowed, but here we are. We have the police standing by these bars while they have a drag your kid to pride event. They're literally dragging their kids into a drag queen dance contest or something and allowing their children to give them dollar bills. What in the world? Is that calling good or evil good?
Yeah.
It is. And it's showing people, you know, as the police just allow this to happen, that they are not going to upset the status quo. They've taken oaths. They're supposed to protect, serve and protect. Those people at Steadfast are paying their salaries as they refuse to do their jobs. And they threaten them with violence, and nothing is ever followed up upon, is it? But I guarantee you, if one person said, well, I'm going to go kill all those people, there would be an FBI agent at their door the next day or that hour. That's the hypocrisy of the left. That's the hypocrisy of the liberals. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 11, look what it says. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them. As a Bible-believing Christian, I'm, as a pastor, as a man of God, I'm supposed to get up and reprove this darkness. I'm supposed to get up and preach against this darkness. The Bible says, as a man of God, as a pastor, I'm supposed to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
Amen.
I'm supposed to preach the word. But you know what? Preaching the word today is considered hate speech. Preaching the word today is considered evil. And while what they're doing is called good. It's just so wicked. I can't even imagine. But people are just brainwashed. But some of these people are just evil, vile reprobates that are leading other people astray, and they're just sending the forces of hell against us. We just have a target on our back. And you know what's really sad is that there's only like a few pastors in this country, maybe more than a few. There's more than a few. But there's not very many that are willing to get up and preach against this. They're not willing to do it because, you know what, they don't want the heat. They don't want the target. Some might get up and say it in front of their church, but we'll never know. When Jesus says, "What I speak unto you in the ear," what's he say? Preach it from the housetops. Not hide it under a bushel. Not hide what the truth is. And that's why people think we're so crazy. I can't believe you're preaching the Bible. You're so crazy. There's a guy, so this made it to the Young Turks, which is a pretty, you know, popular YouTube thing. This guy from the Young Turks, I don't even know what his name is. I forgot what his name is, but he's been around for a while. He says, he admits that the Bible says that sodomites are supposed to be put to death. And then says, that's not true. That's wrong. The Bible's wrong. It's not true. And so basically his whole rant against God and against what we would teach, ultimately says, but if you want to use your religion to do good in the world, then I applaud you. So it's like he's telling us what we can and can't do as a religion. It's okay when we're doing what he wants us to do, but it's not okay if we want to believe the whole thing. And they're not hiding it anymore. They hate God. That guy's a reprobate. There's just no doubt about it. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but it's maybe I'll share it in our group. It's wicked. The Bible says it's a shame even to speak of the things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So we're supposed to make manifest these things so that people can know what is really going on. And ultimately what's going on, you know, Pastor Shelley is preaching about the book 1984 and kind of what, how basically it's like a book written by George Orwell where it talks about, you know, how, you know, Big Brother, which is like the government, you're supposed to love them and depend upon them and all this other stuff. I haven't read the book. I actually probably should read the book, but ultimately I was talking with Pastor Shelley about it, and he's like, ultimately at the end of the book, the lady and a man fall in love, and they're not supposed to fall in love. They're only supposed to come together to breed, and they're not supposed to have any emotional connection with people. Basically, they torture this guy to where he finally says, "I love Big Brother." So basically, they're just like torturing this guy so that he will say he doesn't love this woman. And like these people all, you know, I don't know if you saw the 2 minutes of hate thing with Brother Dylan, but the 2 minutes of hate thing is from George Orwell, where they would get up and just yell and scream at someone that they're supposed to hate. And that's kind of what's going on today, isn't it? They get up and they yell and scream against people they're supposed to hate. That is Twitter in a nutshell. Yeah. Right? Get them! You know, they say that they're the movement of love, and they love is love and all this stuff, but they hate Donald Trump, don't they? They hate him. It's okay to hate him. So, see, just like us, there are certain people that we hate too. But see, the hypocrisy is that they say that we're only supposed to love, but then they hate us. Yeah. They hate the right. and what they perceive as their enemy is Donald Trump, which is just a dog and pony show in reality. But you see, that's a hypocrisy. It's okay for them to hate because we preach the Bible. And then they get up and lie and say, they're calling for the execution of all, you know, they're calling for genocide. Look, being a fag is not a people.
Right.
It's a persuasion. It's a perversion. It's against nature. It's not genocide. Genocide is when you like go after an ethnicity or like a religious group or something like that. It's not because what the sick things you do in your bedroom. That's not genocide. That's called capital crimes.
Yep. Right.
There's a difference between killing or murder. There's a difference between, well, killing is equated as murder by Jesus himself. But to execute someone for a capital crime is justice.
Yep.
There is a difference. I'll get to that here in just a second, but I want to read a couple more verses. I'll just go through these briefs of these other things really quickly. Psalm 119, verse 104. You don't even have to turn there. Just turn to 2 Timothy 3:13. I'll read Psalm 119, 104. Psalm 119, 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Is the left a false way? It is. So are we supposed to hate that way? Absolutely. Do I hate all liberals and leftists? No. I don't hate all liberals and leftists, but I do hate the way that they're going. I do hate some of them, the ones that are not redeemable. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So that's what these people do. They deceive, and they're being deceived at the same time. They think what they're doing is right, a lot of these people, but in reality, they're being deceived by the devil. He's taking them captive at his will. The Bible says that the devil can take people captive at his will that are not saved. And so even if they're not reprobates, they are following what the devil has laid out for them. They've listened to the brainwashing. So here's some of the hypocrisies of the left. I'm just going to finish my sermon with just a few things that I came up with. So one of the hypocrisies of the left is the my body, my choice thing that they like to say. So when they talk about murdering babies inside the womb, it's their body, their choice. But like, and they say that they believe in science, but scientifically, that baby that's inside their womb is not their body. It might be inside their body, but it is not their body. And they talk about it being like, you know, you're trying to take away women's health care. That's not health care. It's death care. They want to kill their own child that's living in their womb. While some people will just love to have one child, these people are fertile and able to have children, and what do they want to do? They want to murder their own child.
Yeah, right.
But they say it's my body, my choice. But let me just remind you of something. Not too long ago, and even probably still now today, when it comes to vaccinations, they say, no, it's you have to do the vaccinations because it's for the good of everybody else. So they say, so they're okay with us being forced to be vaccinated, and they rant and rave about this. They say they're Christians, but they don't want to get the vaccine to help other people. It's like, you know, we don't want to get the vaccination because in Luke chapter 5:31 it says, and Jesus answering said to them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So let me just rest my hat on that one right there. If I'm not sick, why do I need a shot? Doesn't make sense. My body, my choice. The place that I work is making me take tests twice a week, even though the whole pandemic thing is over. My body, my choice. I don't want to stick something up my nose in front of a bunch of nurses every twice a week. I have to wear a mask while everybody else doesn't have to. My body, my choice. They're like, that's, yeah, but it's health. Shut up, man. Look, I know people personally and people that I work with that said, I got all the vaccines, I got all the booster shots and everything, and I got COVID right after that. And then you mentioned that to them, that people are still getting COVID, they have the shots. Because look, it's a deception, folks. And they're saying this stuff, and then they're just like, yeah, but like the symptoms are way lessened. You want to show me the science on that? Please let me see the science on that. Are you saying that nobody that gets vaccinations dies from it? I mean, I don't have the data in front of me, but if they said everybody needs to get vaccinated, and then if you get vaccinated up to 70% of the population, then we have herd mentality. But yet they're still making me, we have herd mentality supposedly, but yet they're still making me jump through their lying hoops in order to punish me. Why do they want to punish me? Because of what I believe.
Yep.
Because I believe that if I'm not sick, I don't need to have a shot. That's what the Bible says. So, you know, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now, I'll believe the Bible over your faulty science any day of the week. Number two, this sermon is going to get nuked because I said all that stuff. But number two, they're okay with murdering children, but have a moratorium on putting convicted murderers to death or anybody that is committed a capital crime. Let me say that again. They're okay with murdering children who are innocent, who are in the womb, who are supposed to be protected in the womb. They'll kill them, the innocent, but then they put a moratorium on putting convicted murderers or rapists or kidnappers or whatever it is to death. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. And I just said, that's talking about murdering somebody. That's what Jesus says, you know, thou shalt do no murder. So, you know, but, you know, when you kill someone that has been judged worthy of death, that is not murdering somebody. That's not unaliving somebody. As social media likes to, they want to unalive us. They want to unalive everybody. It's like, what a weird way to say that. Unalived. Good night. Turn to Leviticus chapter 20. So Jesus said, do no murder. The Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Leviticus 20, verse 10, it's going to spell out some people. And I can't go through the whole thing, but it's going to spell out some people that are worthy of death according to moral laws. Look at verse number 10. It says, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, and the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That's what the Bible says. Like it or lump it, we're living in a world where, you know, families are destroyed because this law is not being kept. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. What is that saying? They should be executed. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion, their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. That's what the Bible, I'm never going to apologize for what the Bible says. Amen. I'm never going to go, oh, this is what the Bible says. That's what a lot of preachers are like, though. Like, that's just what it says. But everybody sinned. The Bible says it's the worst sin you can commit. The Bible teaches, look, it's the worst sin you can commit. It's disgusting. It's an abomination. And I know the people are going to go, what about shellfish? Shut up. That just proves that they don't understand the Bible. They do not understand the difference between a moral law and, you know, laws that are fulfilled, that Christ fulfilled. So look at what it says in verse 14. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. So this is a person that would be with a wife, a man take a wife and her mother. It's an abomination. It's confusion. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and they shall slay the beast. It's talking about bestiality. Not a very comfortable topic to talk about. But look, I don't just believe in the death penalty for homosexuals. I believe in the death penalty for whatever the Bible says. That's my point. And you know what? You know what they believe? The death penalty for children that don't have a voice to speak for themselves. The death penalty for the innocent. But that's the hypocrisy of the left, is that, you know, they used to put people to death. Ted Bundy, put to death. My mom worked at Reese's at this time, and everybody was on break, and they let everybody go to break to watch the televised death of Ted Bundy. And when he died, somebody put a burrito in their microwave and started cooking it and said, "Fry, you sucker." Everybody cheered when Ted Bundy died. Why? He was a monster. But see, people look at the list and they're like, that's not monstrous. It's because they're calling evil good and good evil. So number three, they want to help other countries while they destroy ours. They want to help other countries while they destroy ours. And look, I don't want to be controversial this morning, but they want to destroy us through open borders and lawlessness. Because a lot of the cultures from the nations that they're bringing in, you know, the Muslims, whatever. Look, in the nation of Israel, people had to agree with the laws of that land. It's the same thing here. Okay? So I'm not trying to be controversial, but this is what is happening. The culture is being changed. Christianity is being, you know, snuffed out, basically, because all these Muslims and all these people that believe all this communism and different things are being allowed to just come here and do whatever, and then lawlessness ensues. But then when, you know, they don't want to close our borders or whatever, but or make at least the border crossings legal, but then they go over and they want to help Ukraine enforce their borders and spend how much? Billions of dollars for somebody that's not our nation. And God does want multiple nations of the earth. The one world government is against God. So it's okay for a country to have borders. It's not wrong. And it is the law of the land. But yet, Biden just seems to forget that while he's flying everybody over with airplanes illegally and just setting them up with free room and board and whatever. And this country's divided over that issue. And look, I'm not saying that I want all illegals to be shipped back or whatever. But what I am saying is that we have laws in this country and they're not being abided by, but then they want to go over to another country that's none of our business and just enforce their borders. Why? Because it's an agenda to get close to where they could destroy Russia. And look, you know, oh, you like Vladimir Putin. Here's another thing the left likes to do. They just like to say, well, if you are against Ukraine, then you're pro-Russia. No, I didn't say that. Right. I'm not pro-Russia. I think Putin's probably a piece of garbage too. But do they have the right to enforce their borders? Do they have the right to not have missiles pointed right where they can just shoot and destroy Moscow from the Black Sea right there? That's what he's defending. Does he have the right to do that? Of course he does. And let me tell you something. The Ukrainians are a bunch of faggots. Okay? They're a bunch of fag protectors. They're a bunch of homos. The eastern side is Russian. The other side is a bunch of liberals. Yep. That's the truth. You know, you don't believe me? Well, just go look at every liberal's yard in this area and just tell me who they're for. Because you know what? If they're for them, then it's probably not the right thing. They're the left. It's funny they're not pro-war until it doesn't fit their agenda. And then they're like, kill Putin, replace Putin. Let's go in and massacre them. Let's give them millions of dollars. Let's give them guns. Let's give them billions of dollars. And guess whose money, whose pocket they're putting their hand in right now to give some other country our money and our weapons? You. Here's another thing that they do. They tax the working class and give it to those who refuse to work. Okay, I've kind of already covered this, but turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3:10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible says, for even when they were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So what does that mean? If someone won't work, they shouldn't eat food. Is that what it says? Yep. Am I twisting that with my right wing cis, non-gender, whatever, conforming white male privilege? No? It says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you that you, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Are we here that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies? Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's it talking about? Jesus Christ, right? He says that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. What do the liberals say? We'll take from the people that work and give you part of their bread. We'll take from the people that work and give it to you. That is not what God says. God says, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And you know what? If everybody just stopped giving to them, they would get hungry, and they'd say, you know what? Maybe I should go to labor ready and do some daily work. You know, when you see someone on the side of the road, say, hey, you want to go to labor ready with me? I'll take you to find it. You know, there's plenty of people looking for laborers right now because nobody wants to work. And you know what they're going to say? Oh, no. They won't go. If you give them a sandwich, they'll go, thank you, and throw it behind them. That's why you see food laying all over the ground everywhere. Because that's not what they want. They want your money so they can go buy drugs and alcohol. You know what? What the Bible says, we should starve them out. Isn't that opposite from what the world says? What these liberals say? $70 million surplus in Portland. Do they want to give their laborers a raise so they can actually live in the city that they work in? No. No, they don't want to do that. They want to give it to some bum that's van's going to catch on fire next week because they're cooking hot dogs on a Frisbee. I saw somebody cooking hot dogs on a Frisbee. This is who you're giving money to. You know what a Frisbee's made out of, right? Oil. Petroleum. Craziness. Number five, okay with their side rioting and burning it all down, but not okay with others protesting that don't agree with them. This is just a fact. Look at the January 6th insurrection. They like made it prime time and put it all on TV and stuff. It's like, they wiped feces all over the wall. No, that was mud. They never retract anything that's actual. You know, when they report something false, they'll never retract and say, oh, that wasn't true. We didn't do that. That wasn't true. They walked through the turnstiles that were provided for them when they walked in there. I mean, it did get crazy, but like, did you see them pull guns on anybody? Did any senator or House of Representatives member get hurt or even touched? No. But they're still talking about it every single day on the news, on Communist News Network, CNN, and MSNBC. This guy that said he's been reporting on it, he says, I think about this 14 hours a day. I don't think about anything for 14 hours a day. You're obsessed, bro. You need to get your house in order. The Bible says in Exodus 23, verse 2, it says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a clause to decline after many to wrest judgment. See, they're telling you to follow the multitude to do evil. They're saying, go out and protest, go out and burn this place to the ground. All these people, these woke representatives, these woke mayors in all these different cities, they're all just going around like, yeah, burn it to the ground. Yeah, do this, do that, causing billions of dollars worth of damage. And that's okay. But when some other protesters want to go in and protest that, you know, the election was basically stolen or whatever it was that they were doing, they're thrown in jail and given the given the inside of a dungeon probably for the rest of their lives. The guy with the water buffalo hat or whatever is doing 3.5 years for trespassing. And then one of the people on the other side that was doing all this crazy stuff got the same amount of time. They're just not just in their judgment. And they're telling people to be riotous, to follow a multitude, to do evil. But the Bible says we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to do that. So number six, they say they're anti-war in Ukraine, but we need to kill Putin and replace him. I kind of already covered this, so I guess I jumped ahead of myself. So I'll just skip that one. But how about this? They want to make guns illegal, but are protected by them. They want to make guns illegal. They're doing all these mass shootings are happening and stuff, which there's some pretty shady circumstances to some of the, like the Texas one, where a border patrol agent drops his kids off at school, dropped his kid off at school. He works for the border patrol. He goes in to get a haircut, and his wife texts him and says, "Hey, this is going on. You know, come help me." He grabs the shotgun from the guy that he's getting a haircut from because he didn't have his gear. He puts his gear on. The cops are standing around, not doing anything for like 2 hours. What is off duty? He messed up the narrative. Yep. He runs in and smokes that fool and gets his wife and kid out of there. See, they weren't intending for that part to happen. Crazy, right? These people want to take guns away from law-abiding citizens. They want to make restrictions for law-abiding citizens. Are law-abiding citizens the ones that are going out and doing this stuff? No. They're saying, this is how many people guns have killed. No, it's not the guns that killed them. It was the people that held the guns and shot them that killed them. Yep. It wasn't the guns. Yep. Guns only work if a person is pulling the trigger on them or pushing the button or whatever it is. And these people are hypocrites. They want to defund the police so that our area is lawless and people can just go around doing anything they want. Josh's car got stolen, and the only way he was able to track it down is through an app on Kia. He called the police. They put him on hold for however long. Josh went, and my wife went to, and I was asleep, okay, so I wasn't able to stop this, but I wake up at like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, where is everybody? They're down there on like 7th or 8th and Davis or something like that, where there's all these stolen cars from other states. There's a trailer where they're dealing drugs out of it for hours. She can't even get the police to come. The police, they finally just, Josh had an extra set of keys, but there's people, before I get to that, there's people walking around with guns in their hand, walking like this close to the car. Like, they knew that they were there. They're like, you know, these people don't fit in. They're not going, whatever else they do. So they're like, well, they stick out like a sore thumb. They must be Baptists. But Josh finally got tired of waiting for the Portland police to come and just got in his car and took off. They stole all of his tools out, everything. What's happened? Nothing. They're just allowing this to happen, not only in broad daylight, but all night long to the break of dawn. It's disgusting. And we're not supposed to have guns to defend ourselves against this? When they start moving into the neighborhoods, what are people going to do? What are the people in Portland that voted for all this stuff doing? I bet they regret their decisions. Let's make a warming station out of the Walgreens that they put out of business because they're sitting outside with their stuff all camped around it all the time. You can't, there's not a drugstore in Portland that doesn't have homeless surrounding it. So then get their drugs. And what do? They have to, I mean, there's a Walgreens on, what, MLK? In the corner of like, I think Broadway. And they're playing the same classical music song over and over again. Well, actually they play about 5. I was doing some work there, and the Lone Ranger played for me like probably 10 times or more when I was there. Plus, like, you know, some other kind of classical music. And you know why they do that? To try to keep these freaks from camping outside of their store 24/7 and causing violence, and they're you know, just go down to Portland. Windows of businesses broken. They can't stop them. Nobody's stopping them. And these people, these woke people that are controlling the government there, are like, we need to defund the police. How's that working out for you? But, you know, those same people have armed police that protect them. Joe Biden gets up and says, you know, what do we need, you know, 9mm for? What do we need those for? Like, why do you need them? Why does your Secret Service need them? So they can protect you, dummy. That's why. And we should have the right to protect ourselves in this country. It's called the Second Amendment. Right? The right to keep and bear arms. I'm just kidding. But the Bible says in Luke 22:36, then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his script. He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. See, we're supposed to be able to protect ourselves. Jesus here is telling the disciples to get swords, buy swords, you know, so that they could protect themselves. Now, number eight, I got to hurry up and do this because I'm out of time. But let's see. Number eight, they say love is love, but they hate Christian conservatives and conservatives. They hate Pastor Shelley. They hate Steadfast Baptist Church. The Bible says, though, and see, they hate hate. They say they hate hate, but then they are hate. They're hating right now. Like, Pastor Shelley just, and Dylan, and just preachers, our preacher friends, we preach the same stuff every year. And it's funny that nobody from our church has ever shot a sodomite. Nobody's ever, because I don't advocate that. I never have. None of my pastor friends ever have. Pastor Anderson's been a pastor for like 15 years plus. And guess what? None of his church members have ever done that. And you know why? You know, if we're a cult and that's what we're preaching, then how come you guys aren't following us? Huh? How come you're not doing what we're saying? Huh? Pretty bad cult. Pretty bad brainwashing done. You know why? Because that's not what we're saying. And they know it, and they knowingly lie and say that. They say they hate hate, and it's a bad word, and nobody should hate, and Jesus never taught hate. But wait a second, the Bible does teach hate. There's some people, so just like they hate us, we hate some of them. This isn't a hard concept. But see, it's not okay for us, it's okay for them, because we would dare to say that we should hate them. We're not telling anybody to do anything to them or be violent to them or anything like that. But then they're being violent and telling other people to be violent toward us. Yep. You need to go unalive Dylan and his family. Here, I'm going to dox your whole family and put all their addresses up on the internet so that someone can go do the job that should be done. What do they mean by that? Like, what does his family members have to do with it? And you know what? Have you ever heard the term, don't shoot the messenger? When we get up and preach the word of God, we're just the messenger of the message. We're not the one that wrote it. I'm not God. I didn't author this Bible. But you know what I'm called to do is preach it. The Bible says there's a time to love and a time to hate. Well, they must have skipped that verse in their Bible reading. A time of war and a time of peace. Turn to Psalm 139. We'll close right there. Psalm 139, verse 19. And look, I could turn to tons of verses, but I'm out of time. Psalm 139, verse 19. See, they say, they're so hypocritical, they say that we're not supposed to hate anybody. Nobody's supposed to hate anybody. Hate's a bad word. Hate, there's no place in this world for hate. Except for Donald Trump. Right-wing conservative Christians. White Baptist preachers. One of the comments I saw said, I effing hate white Baptist pastors. It's like, that's not racist. I thought we were not supposed to be racist. Psalm chapter 139, you know, Dylan, I think Dylan's being attacked because of how pasty he is. It's like he fits the mold of white Christian or whatever. He's white and delightsome. If he was a Mormon, he'd be. He burns in the shade. Okay. Psalm 139, verse 19. says, surely, I love you, Brother Dylan. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O Lord. O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. This is David, the man after God's own heart. And he's saying, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly. See, these people are speaking against God. They hate God. Therefore, they hate people that would preach his message. Is every church in America getting protested today? No, but because they refuse to stand up and preach the truth, if we get destroyed, they're going to get destroyed along with us. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Some of the most disgusting and vile things I've seen, you know, just the emails and the voice messages are some of the most hateful things I've ever heard in my whole life. If you're born of the womb of one of these Baptist preachers' wives, then you deserve to die too. That's what they're saying. If you've looked at the comments, that's what they're saying. We all deserve to die. We all deserve to be firebombed. We all deserve, hey, I hope a mass shooter comes to your congregation. Then maybe you'll figure out the truth. That's pretty wicked. Yep. To want to have little children shot to death by a mass shooter. See, they're setting it up. You know what? And if it happens, then they're the ones that promoted violence. They're the ones that are calling us to be unalived, right? Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. See, the people we're supposed to hate are the people that hate God. Not just regular run-of-the-mill sinners. The people that hate God are those that we're supposed to hate. Jeremiah was told, don't pray for these people. I've rejected them. There's times in Scripture when God wipes out people. Why? Because they hate him.
Yep.
Okay? The bottom line is the left of this world is trying to destroy the kingdom of God through their wicked policies and their brainwashing. And it's working. Public schools need to be gotten rid of. They need to be, the school system, not the people in it, need to be unalived. It needs to be unalived. The school system, not the people. So I do believe that some leftists can be saved. Of course, some of the people maybe in this room were leftists at one time. I voted for Al Gore in 2000. Don't hold that against me. I wasn't saved. I didn't know. I knew George Bush was wicked. So I thought, surely Al Gore has, you know, he invented the internet. So, you know, he was trying to save the world through the flood of the ice caps melting. How long ago was that? By now, we should be dead. He must have saved us somehow after he was the first one to make $1 billion off those policies. But anyway, I got to end. So, look. They can still be saved, but it's going to take the power of God's word, which is very powerful, to turn the tide. You know what? And we're probably not going to turn it. But you know what? We can turn some.
Yep.
We can save some. We can save some of these people. And I hope that they do get saved. I don't want anybody to be unalived, but and be cast into hell for all eternity. But we got to get out and we got to continue to, one by one, save this world through the power of the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this wonderful day. Pray that you just bless all of those in attendance. We thank you, Lord, so much for the Bible. And Lord, we rest our head on it, no matter what it says. And Lord, I pray that we would be strong and courageous to preach whatever's in it. And Lord, I pray that those people that are mixed up in this leftist hypocrisy, Lord, that if they're able to be saved, Lord, that we'd be able to reach them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Hymnals, page 200. He's a wonderful savior to me. Page 200.
He's a wonderful savior to me. Sing it out with me on the first. I was lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me. He's a wonderful savior to me. I was bound by fear, but Jesus set me free. He's a wonderful savior to me. For he's a wonderful savior to me. He's a wonderful savior to me. I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful savior to me. On the second, he's a friend so true, so patient and so kind. He's a wonderful savior to me. Everything I need in him I always find. He's a wonderful savior to me. For he's a wonderful savior to me. He's a wonderful savior to me. I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful savior to me. He is always near to comfort and to cheer. He's a wonderful savior to me. He forgives my sins. He dries my every tear. He's a wonderful savior to me. For he's a wonderful savior to me. He's a wonderful savior to me. I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful savior to me. Sing it out on the last. Dear grows the love of Jesus every day. He's a wonderful savior to me. Sweeter is his grace while pressing on my way. He's a wonderful savior to me. For he's a wonderful savior to me. He's a wonderful savior to me. I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful savior to me.
Amen. Thank you for singing this morning. I'd like to see you back here at 3:30 this afternoon. Brother Sean, can you end us with a word of prayer?